Scripture, would you take your Bibles, turn to the book of Mark. Mark, the third chapter in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1048. We'll read responsively the first five verses. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, page 1048. As we are accustomed to do, let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And let's finish with the reading of the fifth verse together. And when they had looked round about on him with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And let's pray. Father, what a good day this is. Good day because we're privileged to be in this church among these good people. And now we're prepared to hear thy word. And if for some reason we're not prepared as we should be, help us to prepare ourselves in heart and mind to receive from thy servant that which you have for us today. Bless with power our preacher and help us to listen attentively. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of necessity, the message must be shorter this morning than usual. When we have the Lord's Supper, that takes the first 30 minutes of our service, 25 or 30 immediately. And so I'm going to ask that everyone be seated and be still and quiet and give me your undivided attention. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the withered ones. The withered ones. You need not turn to it. We read a while ago. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, because there was a man which had a withered hand. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. So I plead for your attention as I speak for just a few moments on the withered ones. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for this hour that you'd help us to see, standing in the house of God, the withered ones. And may we pay attention to their needs, even as did our Savior. Amen. It was the Sabbath day, and that meant it was a very special day in Israel. A day of worship, a day of singing, a day of rest. No one could work in any manner on the Sabbath day. Not even to the picking up of sticks. You couldn't even walk out in the yard. You saw a stick on the front porch. You couldn't pick it up and throw the stick off the front porch. It was the day when nobody cooked. The fires could not even be lit or built in the houses. No traveling on that day over about 0.4 mile, 2,200 feet plus was the Sabbath day's journey. Just about 0.4 mile. Each went to his own synagogue on the Sabbath day, his own neighborhood synagogue. Jesus goes to his. He immediately sees a man standing there, perhaps in the entrance of the synagogue, who has a withered hand. The word withered means dried up, just no hand at all, no usefulness in the hand, no strength in the hand. It's just totally dried up. The enemies of Christ, the scribes and the Pharisees, saw him as he entered in, and they saw the man with the withered hand. And they saw a chance to catch Jesus breaking the law. For they knew the compassionate heart of the Christ. And they knew his desire to heal the sick, comfort the sad, the bereaved, strengthen the weak. They knew what he'd try to do. They knew him. He had the reputation. Oh, to have one like it. And then they watched him. And they got their pads and their notes. And if they had cameras, they'd got their cameras already in the press gathered around. And there was Jesus. And there was the man with the withered hand. They were not surprised, nor am I, when Jesus said to the man, stand forth. And the withered man with the withered hand came forth. And the scribes and Pharisees said, yeah, this is a Sabbath day, and you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. We knew that's what you'd do. We knew it's wrong to do that on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Right here is one of the most amazing demonstrations of wisdom our Lord ever gave. Follow me. He said, is it lawful to heal this man? Or is it worse to let him have the withered hand? He said, which is worse on the Sabbath? To heal him or not to heal him? To let him keep his withered hand? If I have the answer, which is worse? You see, he presented them with a dilemma. Is it worse to heal this man, which was an obvious breaking of the laws of Judaism, but not to heal the man would leave him in his withered condition? And our Lord is saying, okay, fellas, which is worse? Not to help the man, let him die, or to heal him on the Sabbath day? This morning, I want to come to you on behalf of the withered ones. God has signally blessed our church in placing us in a neighborhood and an area filled with withered ones. Those first who have withered bodies. I was in California recently. As I often do on my trips, I try to find a rest home and go visit some of those people that nobody cares about. That army of forgotten ones that ungrateful children had deposited to die and rot without anybody caring or being concerned. I went in the rest home and asked the lady in charge, told her who I was, asked her if I could walk around and just make some visits, and she said, of course you may. Then I walked down the sidewalk after I'd finished, and I watched the jogger as he jogged by. And I wanted to say, hey, fella, as you're jogging by here, there are dozens of folks in there who will never jog again. And I watched some bicycle riders ride by on the bicycles down the sidewalk. I wanted to say, hey, fellas, in that little place right there by which you're riding today, there are some people who will never ride a bicycle again. Now watch the cars go by, and the folks walk by. And I heard the laughter. And for a while, I wanted to lift my hands up and shout, hey, folks, hey, do you know who it is you're passing? Do you know who's in there? Little ladies who've reared families, men who've paid bills, worked hard, and reared families, people in there who have built this country and made it what it is. Hey, folks! Hey, joggers! There are folks in there who'll never jog again. Hey, walkers! There are folks in there who'll never walk again. Hey, laughers! There are folks in there who'll never laugh again. And I contend, ladies
and gentlemen, that if our Lord Jesus, though he did break the law of the Sabbath when he healed that man, I contend he would have done worse had he had the wherewithal to heal that man and had not healed the man with the withered hand. For 37 years I've walked with the withered. One of the most amazing things about me is that I still laugh. I walk with the withered. My life is spent walking in and out of the withered ones. Now I come this morning not asking you for a thing for Jack Hiles. I come this morning on behalf of the people with whom I walk, with whom I spend most of my life, the withered ones. I come this morning to plead for them, to plead for you to consider taking time while you walk in and out of the synagogue and in and out of your busy activities of life. I say, don't forget them, the withered ones. Such a withered body as my mother's today. My sister and I, our mother is very ill. Her little body just looks like somebody took some bones and took some tissue paper and wadded it up and then tried to press it out and wrapped it around her bones. Every time I go see her and I leave, I want to run out and get in the car and drive to every rest home in America. And I want to walk beside the bed of every little emaciated body, every little withered face, every little withered hand, every little withered back. And I want to put their heads in my arm and I want to say, God loves you and I love you. All over this land today, I'm not talking about Africa with the millions who are hungry. I'm not talking about India where they're dying on the streets. I'm talking about Indiana. I'm talking about Hammond. I'm talking about Chicago. You don't understand the withered ones. You don't know who it was you walked by this morning as you walked in the house of God. You don't understand it. And I stand this morning and say, in God's name, as we come, as they came for their synagogue worship, and as they came to sing their songs and read their scriptures, here was a man beside the way, inside the synagogue, whose hand was withered, and nobody seemed to care. Had not the Savior walked in physically, he would have still had a withered hand, but the Savior's not here physically this morning, and if the withered ones get cared for, and the withered one gets loved, and the withered ones get cured, and the withered ones get help, we're the ones going to have to do it. I come this morning and say, as we open, and this message is the type I almost always preach this morning of the year. We open our schools, and I'm glad we do. Young lady, you have to sit down now. Young lady, you have to sit down. We open our schools, and I'm glad we do. And we have the new dining hall at the college, and we have nice, I think, the finest faculty in our college and high school and junior high and grade school and State Baptist High School in America. And our football team is practicing, and they played their first game last week and their first home game this coming week. And our students are coming from far and near, and the soccer team of the high school is practicing. And we're getting excited about all that we have. And God's been so good to us. But ladies and gentlemen, there are withered ones that can't afford to send their kids to a Christian school. And there are withered ones that can't go to a Christian school. And in God's dear name, let's don't get so busy opening and closing and studying and preparing and singing and praying. Let's don't get so busy worshiping and singing. We forget that in this building, there are withered ones.
The deaf. The blind. The educable slow. One of my buddies over here. Oh, where's my boy? He's got the Dallas Cowboy shirt on. Where is he? Stand up, son. These are our retarded adults and teenagers. Sure, do what you did to me this morning. Yeah. Do what else you did to me this morning. Remember? Hey. He got that Dallas Cowboy shirt. Because I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, as all good Christians are. Thank you. And he wore it last Sunday. First time I've seen it. He pulled it up like that. Wore it back this morning. Don't think he washed it either. Well, I could smell, but wore it back this morning. Well, folks, we're in church this morning.
You drove nice cars. You have a nice home. Most of us have pretty nice clothes. And most of us, our children, are well and mentally normal. But they're withered ones here. And we must not get so busy in the hubbub and activity and excitement of this time of the year and forget
the withered ones. Those with withered bodies. And then those with withered hopes. 37 years I've sat with them. I've helped to pick up the pieces. 37 years and 25 years in this church. I've helped to pick up the pieces of those with withered hopes. This morning, don't forget them. The little lady who didn't listen to us, numbers of them, a year, who don't listen to us and go to Lover's Lane when they shouldn't go and do things they shouldn't do, and finally they find out that they've conceived a baby in their womb. And our hearts are broken. I want to make an announcement this morning. They're still my kids. They're still my girls, still my young'uns, still my members. And I, for one, am not going to forsake them.
You say, what? You going to help sinners?
Yeah, that's what the Savior did. Yeah. Not long ago, I was visiting in a southwestern city. I was preaching in a southwestern city. And a fellow said, I want to show you something. And I said, what? He said, come here. He showed me the most beautiful window I'd ever seen in my life. And I stared at that window and I said, I've never seen anything like it in my life. And he said, as the sun was shining through, we were on the dark side, the sun was shining through, I said, I've never seen a window like that. That's the most beautiful window I've ever seen. He said, Dr. Howells, you know what that window's made of? I said, no. He said, broken pieces. He said, just a bunch of broken pieces of glass. Shattered glass is what that is made of. And somebody took every piece and placed that piece back again. It'll never be one solid piece again. But he said, look at it. And I stood there. I know I stood there 30 minutes. And I said, that's what I've been doing for 25 years at First Baptist Church of Hammond and 37 years of preaching. I've been taking the broken pieces and trying to put them back together. And let me tell you this morning, if you just knew what I know, if you could sit in my office for 1 week and listen to what I hear and hear what I hear and see what I see, I'm simply saying, I'm glad we have a college and I thank God that lovely dining hall. But listen, I had rather that dining hall be torn by a tornado this afternoon than for our church to quit loving people who are the withered ones, withered hopes, withered dreams, withered plans, broken.
And yet the honest, simple truth is, those broken pieces placed back together. That's the answer. And that's the job. Now, Lord Jesus walked inside the synagogue. He looked over and he saw the withered one. And the Pharisees and Sadducees said, we'll catch him now. We'll catch him now.
And Jesus said, what's worse? Leave him like he is? Or heal him on the Sabbath day. And they were confounded and confused.
And after he had put the pieces back together, and after broken pieces had been put back together, then the scribes and Pharisees gathered to figure out why it was like it was.
But in this great church here, if you knew this morning the people that you're sitting beside, if you knew this morning the heartbreak of folks that has walked beside you today while you walked in the building, I think we ought to have fun. God knows I do. I love humor. I love rejoicing. I love laughter. I love praising. I love excitement. I love the schools. I love it all. But at the door are the withered ones, those with withered hopes, those with withered dreams, the children in this room this morning who want to go to a Christian school. But they cannot unless somebody cares for the withered ones.
There are City Baptist young people this morning, graduated from City Baptist, are begging and hoping and praying they can go to Howells Anderson College in the fall. They don't know how they can enroll
the withered ones. The women carrying babies in their arms today who have no money to buy milk or food for the little children. The withered ones. Young couples getting married with no rings and no money to afford wedding gowns. The withered ones. Young ladies wanting to stay in college but can't afford to stay in college. The withered ones. Now say this morning. And I'm not upset about this, but people say so often, they say, you have a problem? You have a need? Go see Brother Hiles. In the first place, I'm glad and I thank God that you send him to me. But folks, Brother Hiles can't do it all by himself. There are too many withered ones for one man to care for. There are too many withered ones for one man to see. I give my life to the withered ones. I ask for nothing except for you to help me with the withered ones. I can relate to it. My father was an alcoholic. We lived across the street from the Fernwood. It wasn't Fernwood Baptist. We lived across the street, a Baptist church that believed the Bible, and had revival campaigns for 8 years. Not one time did one single person cross the street. Knock on the door of the old drunk across the street and tell the withered one about the Savior. For 8 years, my father tended bar as a bartender across the street from Dallas Seminary. You could take a rock and throw it from Dallas Seminary to that bar or vice versa. For 8 years! And not one time did a single one of those ministerial students go across the street to tell the old drunk over there, the old withered one, about the Savior. My mama was a withered one. We had no monthly check coming from the government. We had no food stamps. We didn't have food stamps in those days. We had no Social Security check coming. All we had was a God that was bigger than we were. And we were the withered ones. I plead this morning, as I begin my 26 years, your pastor, I plead for nothing for myself. I plead for my clients, the withered ones, the withered ones. They're all over the place. How good God has been. 20, 25 years ago, one Thursday night, well, I go back farther than that. In a Bible conference in 1957, I came to Chicago to preach in 1957. Preached four different centers around Chicago. And one night I was preaching, I was staying on the north side near Lincoln Park Zoo, and I had to go out to preach at the First Baptist Church of Harvey, and I didn't know about the expressways and the freeways. And stupid me, I found out that Harvey was on Halstead Street. And on the north side of Chicago, I got on Halstead Street to drive to Harvey. There are 75,216 stoplights. And I drove every block and stopped every block it seemed. I never saw many businesses in my life. By the time I'd driven a few miles through that part of the country, the little Texas preacher, I was tears streaming down my cheeks, dropping on my shoulders. And I tried to drive, and I could hardly drive for the tears. And I found myself praying, oh God, send somebody to this area. This is the area of Dwight L. Moody, Paul Rader, that his Sunday was saved here, R.A. Torrey. Send somebody to this area. Time I got to First Baptist Church Harvey, when I preached that night, my eyes were stained with tears. And I went back to Texas and I began to pray, oh God, send somebody to the Chicago area to care. I did not know that I would be the answer to that prayer that I prayed. 1959, 25 years ago, in August, we came here. And shortly after that, the first time I went over and drove along the south side of Chicago. And I went over there about, I won't go to the store, you know it. But I went over at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, and I drove and I drove and I drove and I drove. And tears streaming down my cheeks. And I'll be honest with you, I still can't drive in Chicago without weeping in the neighborhoods. The psalmist said, I looked on my right hand, refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. There are literally thousands and tens of thousands of withered ones, withered hands, withered bodies, withered dreams, withered hopes. All over this area. This morning I come to say, as I start my 26th year, let's not forget the withered ones. There were many beautiful palatial mansions in Bethlehem, where the Savior could have seen the light of day and the Christ child could have opened his eyes. There were many beautiful nurseries in Bethlehem where our Savior could have been born and the Son of Man could have come to seek and to save the lost and made his entrance into the world. But it was not to one of the hospital nurseries or one of the nurseries in some lovely mansion. It was to a manger, swaddling clothes, and hay, our Savior came. There are many places he could have stayed at night, the finest hotels, luxurious places of abode. Our Savior did not stay there. He was on the Mount of Olives. As foxes scurried to their holes and birds flew to their nests, our Savior was on the Mount of Olives. His life was spent with the withered ones. He was not honored by the Rotary Club, nor did he lead in prayer at the opening of the Senate, nor was he the chaplain for the President or the King. He walked with withered ones. A blind man on the Jericho Road. A sinner who climbed a tree to get a glimpse of him. A woman with an issue of blood. A lady found in the act of adultery. A thief on the cross. He spent his life with the withered ones. And this morning, first Sunday of September, and the first Sunday of my 26 years pastor of this church, I dedicate myself anew to the withered ones. I dedicate myself to you, withered ones, and to your withered ones, and to the withered ones in this area, and especially to those whom we see as we walk into the house of God. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of the poor, the halt, the maimed, the blind, the deaf, the withered ones. Let's don't forget them. Let's don't forget them. The withered ones. For them I plead. To them I preach. For them I live. Father, bless, I pray, this great church.